Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm David Marsden from the Evening Standard. Follow the leader or hit subscribe and you'll get our news, analysis and commentary every day at 4 p.m. Give us a rating wherever you get your podcast too. Now, from the Evening Standard in London, this is the leader. With lockdown over, London is unleashed, sort of, under Tier 2 restrictions, of course. There's a vaccine on the way too. It's no wonder people are excited, particularly at the idea of getting out of the house at the weekend. And coronavirus cases in the capital are falling. It's just that they're not falling as fast as they once were. And that's got doctors worried. In the Evening Standard, the London Director of Public Health England, Professor Kevin Fenton, is warning if people don't stick to the rules this weekend, the capital will be plunged into Tier 3. That's no shops, no bars, no cinemas, theatres, those things that make London, London. I'm now joined by Dr. Paul Mackay from Imperial College London. Dr. Mackay, is Professor Renton right that the city is at risk of going into Tier 3?
Well, it's always possible, and if the infection rate goes up, of course, the government will make a decision based on that infection rate and may decide to put London into Tier 3, which is not anything anybody wants.
No, and that infection rate, it does seem to still be going down, but doctors are saying that it's that rate of that fall appears to be slowing. Is the concern that if the fall rate slows, that it might start going back up again?
I think that is definitely a concern. We don't want to, scare anybody, but with the rates going down because of tighter lockdown, once you loosen that, it's possible that it will go up and we may go back into a lockdown, and nobody wants that, especially with the vaccine on the horizon.
Are you expecting people, having spent all of these weeks in lockdown, to throw out the doors and just go a bit wild?
Yeah, well, I think we all kind of expect that a little bit. And it's a natural response, of course, because, we have people have been cooped up in their homes for such a long time. And this is the second time. And people are fed up. It's coming up to Christmas. People want to go and do their shopping. The shops are opening again. So it's only natural that people are going to want to go out. But people need to be careful because just because you might catch coronavirus, and people think that if you're a young person and that you're healthy, that that's not something you should really worry about. But actually, you should worry about it, because while we are very well aware that old people and people with underlying conditions are the people who suffer most from this disease, and some of whom die, there's a lot of other aspects to this disease. For example, the fatigue, the brain fog, the skin rashes, the scarring on the lungs. And that's not necessarily in the older people or people that have the severe disease. It's in people who have mild disease who are younger as well.
And those symptoms for some people seem to last a long time in some cases. In fact, we don't really know if or when they'll stop.
We don't, exactly. It's called the long COVID syndrome now. And that long COVID syndrome affects, it seems to be, about 1 in 30 people who become infected with coronavirus with a mild infection who are young. So, don't get this disease.
Perhaps this time next year a vaccine will be ready. Maybe we can wait for another year. Or would that be too optimistic, Paul?
So I think the vaccine will come online from, the end of this year. It will take a long time to roll out because it is a massive endeavour. It is a massive thing to get this vaccine to everyone. Once we protect the most vulnerable people and the frontline health workers, it'll then be rolled out to other people and the vaccine will make a dramatic impact. But we just need to hold on for that extra time just to make sure that we don't have another lockdown and the vaccine will do its work. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
There's more on this story in the newspaper and at standard.co.uk now. One of the things given a lifeline, at least, by Tier 2 in London is one of our greatest traditions, Christmas theatre, including pantomime, the Palladium's among some, not all, venues, which is putting on a socially distanced run. And there are other festive performances too, like A Christmas Carol starring Simon Russell Beale at the Bridge. Evening Standard critic Nick Curtis has seen it, and he's with me now. Now, Nick, there's an embargo on reviews, but we can talk about what it was like just to be there, back in a theatre at Christmas. How was it?
As with all theatres these days, you're supposed to turn up at a specific time slot within about 10 minutes. I turned up early hoping to speak to some people going there, and they were all there about an hour beforehand, queuing round Potter's Field outside the Bridge Theatre. Very socially distanced, you know, all of them keeping a respectful space, but all of them absolutely gagging to get back into the theatre again, I think.
Was there an excitement there just within the audience itself, even before the curtain came up, so to speak?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I mean, if we were in any doubt that there's a hunger there for live entertainment amongst the population of London, then I think that night, last night, totally dispelled it. I think people are really desperate to get back to see some live entertainment, not just theatre, but, you know, music, comedy as well, I believe.
A few months back, Nick, we were talking on the podcast to Simon Callow about the demise of the pantomime, and he thought it would be ruinous for theatre. We've just about got away with it this year, though, haven't we? Panto is not dead.
No, it isn't. Oh, no, it isn't. It's not as healthy as it would like to be. Some theatres did have to cancel their pantos this year. For instance, Hackney Empire, which puts on a very famous, very popular panto every year, and some of the other outer London theatres had to take a decision earlier in the year to cancel it in order not to lose a ton of money on it. But a few are going ahead. There's some opening this weekend. Cinderella, the socially distanced panto, which is supposed to be a bit naughty and a bit camp, at the Turbine Theatre in Battersea. And then we have Potted Panto at the Garrick, is opening on Sunday, which promises to be, I think it's 12 or 14 pantos in the space of 70 minutes.
And it just wouldn't be the same. Theatre in London wouldn't be the same without having that pantomime aspect to it at Christmas, wouldn't it? I mean, we know that it might not be high art, but it's great fun.
Well, along with Morris dancing, it is our only indigenous art form, for good or ill. I think we just have to own that, really. Oh, yes, we do. But it's also, it plays a vast part in, first of all, introducing young children to theatre for the first time. Quite often it is a person's first show they will ever see. It's quite a nice sort of primer to get people sort of hooked into theatre. And it's also the places where a lot of smaller theatres and a lot of regional theatres actually make their money, which funds the rest of their programme for the year.
Now, putting your critic hat aside and just talking as somebody who genuinely loves theatre, knowing that performances are coming back, how do you feel about it right now?
I'm delighted. I can't tell you how good it was. It felt to be back into a theatre. It was a month since I'd been to see a show. That was Death of England, Delroy at the National, which was November the 4th, I believe. And so, yes, December the 3rd, I went to see the very first performance of A Christmas Carol at the Bridge Theatre. I'm going to see it again to review it next week, so I can't tell you much about the show. But it was a delight to be back in a theatre.
You can read more from Nick at standard.co.uk. And that's The Leader. We're back on Monday.